podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
This morning, we are in Mark chapter 6. And I'm going to read the verses to you. If they come up here, do I need to do anything? Okay, we will read them with okay, what do you guys see? Every time I preach, you get to see that, right? Sean, you want to, or Sean had showed me, do I need to? There we go. Hopefully it's big enough. I don't feel well prepared today, but we're going to go with it. King Herod heard about this, which Alan preached about last time, about all that Jesus was doing. For Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has risen from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he's Elijah. Still others claimed he is a prophet, like one of the prophets long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put into prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled and yet liked to listen to him. Finally, an opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed because of his oaths and his dinner guests. He did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The men went and beheaded John in prison and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. What a story. I called this dysfunctional family extraordinaire. How would you like to be a part of the Herod family? Talk about a messed up crew. And whenever you preach on something, two main things you got to remember to do is you got to think about your audience and apply it to them. How do you apply that to you guys? Second thing you got to do is you got to have a good illustration or illustrations that lets light in on what you're saying. So today I'm going to attempt to use these verses as illustrations to illustrate some things and apply them to our lives. And I got some little things to help us remember this. Before I do that, a while ago, Tim and Becky did a seminar, Love and Respect, right? And like men see things blue and women see things, is it pink or red? Pink. And they did this nice seminar. It was really good. So I got thinking, how do I apply this? Tim, would you apply this week and make sure you don't go run off with your brother's wife? Okay? Can you do that this week? Well, then you're safe. John, you're my next victim. John's a teacher at Northridge, and students and today's kids, you know, you wonder about. Well, John, would your application be, would you not get so mad at those kids that you want to kill? Well, maybe this is too close to home. I don't know. Don't get so mad you want to kill those kids. And my third application, Dave, I got one more. Who is it? You're an entrepreneur. He's got his own business, a business person, business thinking. And sometimes you get in situations with salesmen or banquets or things. You got to be careful. So this week, Dave, for your application, I'd like to have you make sure you don't go into any wild parties where there's lots of drinking and craziness, okay? Can you do that for me? Okay, thank you, thank you. Last but not least, Kurt's, you guys can turn around if you want to, I don't care. This is Kurt back here. If you don't know Kurt, he's a blacksmith. He can make anything out of metal, pound, pound, pound. And
this is no advertisement for
me. Oh, he didn't pay me to do this. Well, I'm sure you didn't, because Kurt, I'm sure you've made some knives in your life, some sharp objects. Could you apply this week and make sure you don't go out and chop anybody's head off? Okay, well, good, good. I'm glad you guys will apply this week. I do that to be silly, but I'm going to come back to those and we'll make them a little bit more useful. Today we're going to look at this passage and we're going to use it to illustrate four topics. And they're bad illustrations. Obviously, this passage is not, John's in there, but there's not much good in here. We're going to illustrate four topics that this dysfunctional family illustrates for us. The topics are weddings. I got W's to help you remember. Wedding, wrath, wisdom, making good social decisions, activities, and the final one is words, the words that led to the beheading. Those are things that are illustrated in very terrible ways in this dysfunctional family. As I was starting this book, or this sermon, and I read through this, you know, this is pretty far out, far-fetched. Talk about a super dysfunctional family and get guy, you know, he commands John to have his, to be beheaded, have his head cut off, and ew. Well, just as I'm starting this sermon, I'm reading this book. Anybody read In the Presence of My Enemies? It's about 25 years old, but it's a missionary couple who were in the Philippines as missionaries, and the couple got away for an anniversary getaway. They had their three kids go to a relative. While they were in the resort, jihad terrorists came in and kidnapped them and like 15 other people. And this couple ends up being captive for about a year. Terrible circumstances, hard life, on the sea, in the boat, in the ocean, in the jungle. It was a bad, bad situation. And thinking about the story of King Herod, they are on the boat, they get on the land, they're in the jungle, they're running away from the Filipino army, is what they're trying to stay away from. So they're packing up all the time and moving. And one time they get to a place where they can use a pickup truck. So they all load up. There's like 15 captives and about 20 of the extremists, the captors in the group. So it's a pretty big group. They pile into the pickup on top. They end up short of room to get everybody on. So here in the year 2000, 2001, we think we're civilized. They take the three Filipino captives who don't have much value in ransom money, take them into the jungle, behead them. That's in our lifetime. And we think, have people really changed? Has things gotten better? We think of this scripture, and we think, oh, that's way back 2,000 years ago. There's still lots of evil, lots of bad people. And as much as we worry about our country and we pray for it, we still got a lot of Christian ethics and values in our country that save us from some of these things. So it was just very interesting. By the way, this couple's captive for a year. It ends up just being the husband, the wife, and one Filipino lady who one of the Islamic guys had taken as a mistress. The only way to have her was to go through a ceremony that makes it legal in Islam to have a mistress. So anyway, three left. Finally, the army catches up with them. The army and the Filipino army was not like our army. They just shot at everybody. So as they are saving them, they end up shooting him and the Filipino lady, and the only person that survives is the wife, the missionary wife. And anyway, so these kind of things still happen today. A little bit about the history of this. Where am I at? I don't want to go too late. A little bit about the history of this background. You see I don't have my pointer. The reddish part is Judea. The two purples are Galilee and Perea. And then there's an orange section up there at the top. When Jesus was born, Herod the Great ruled all three of those colored sections. Okay? All three of those different colors. And you remember, and Herod the Great was the father of the Herod we just read about. Well, Herod the Great was not such a great guy. What did he do in Bethlehem? He was willing to kill every two-year-old boy and under just to get to Jesus. So talk about a dysfunctional family. It ran in the generations. So that is the land that King Herod had. And King Herod the Great died soon after Jesus was born. And when he died, they took his land and divided it up between three sons. One son had the red part, which is Judea, Jerusalem. You probably can't read it up there, but that's that area. The purple at the top is Galilee, where Jesus was raised as a boy, and most of his ministry took place up in Galilee. And this person that's in the story today, he's Herod Antipas, he had the purple part. So he had Galilee and Perea. Even though they weren't connected, he still ruled both of those. And then his half-brother ruled the orange part at the top. Well, that's kind of where we were historically. And the Herod family was sort of kind of Jewish. They had Jewish background. They followed the Jews, and the Romans said, okay, you just keep it quiet in that area of the country, and we'll let you rule however you want. Just pay us our taxes, give us our money, and don't require us to send a bunch of army forces into your area to keep peace, because we got other things to do with them. And Herod and his sons did that, so they ruled this area of the country. And then, as we read, Herod, he had an interesting relationship with John the Baptist. He liked him, he liked to listen to him, yet he never believed in what he said. He kind of dabbled in the truth, what John was saying, but he never committed to it. Sometimes that happens to people you witness to. They're interested, they listen, they pay attention, and they even kind of like it. Maybe they like a Bible study or something, but they never say, Jesus, I want you to save me. I want to be one of your people. So Herod was an interesting character. He was very unusual, I guess I should say. So that's kind of the background. He lived here. Oh, going back, when Jesus is getting ready to be crucified, the red part was ruled by Herod, Herod's son for just 5 or 6 years, and he was terrible. They yanked him out, and the Romans came in and started ruling it. So when Jesus was tried, the Roman ruler he went to was Pilate. He was the ruler of the red part. But when Pilate heard that Jesus was from Galilee, that's when he called in Herod, said, "Hey, Herod, he's from your area. You come here and try him." So this is that guy that we read about today that killed John the Baptist is also the Herod that tried Jesus. Okay? Give you some historical background. All right, so what can we get from this? This is the historical background. You know, people thought that Jesus was many things, and one of them was that he was John the Baptist, who was beheaded in the current situation, and he'd come back to life. And that's what Herod believed. He says that he believed he was John the Baptist, had been raised from the dead. Actually kind of tormented him, I think. The next verses, I entitled The Wedding. Herodias' first marriage was to Herod's half-brother Philip. You remember the upper kingdom, that was Philip, and he was married to Herodias. And then, I don't know, voluntarily or by force, Herod took her to Galilee and married her. So Herod had married his brother's wife. We just can't imagine that kind of thing. And Philip, Herodias' first husband, was Herod's half-brother. Now, being under Jewish law and trying to be kind of Jewish, the marriage of Herod to Herodias was not lawful. Under Roman law, it was okay. But under Jewish law, in the Old Testament, it specifically says, a man shall not take his brother's wife. Okay? A man shall not. So that was John. He was going to them and saying it's not lawful for them to be married under Jewish law. And Herodias, as Herod's wife, were told that she wanted to kill John the Baptist. And Herod was afraid to kill John the Baptist. Husbands, does that sound like a pretty bad situation? Your wife wants to kill a guy, but you're afraid of him, and you don't want to kill him, and what kind of discussions did they have, huh? So she wanted to kill John the Baptist. I think this kind of illustrates a proverb. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. You got to kill him. I told you yesterday you got to kill him. What's wrong with you? Would you go, you know, you can do it. You're the king. Kill the guy. Let's get rid of him. So it was just a bad situation and a wicked situation. But from that, Tim, I picked on you, but from that, God holds marriage important. It was so important to John the Baptist that he was willing to have his head chopped off to support the principle of marriage. Pretty important, huh? We should support marriage and not let society dictate what marriage is. And God even told the Jews in the Old Testament, they said, God, why aren't you blessing us? We have no blessings. Why aren't you blessing us? And he says, it's because you're divorcing your wives. You've left the wife of your youth. God has that much importance in the marriage covenant that when they were breaking it in the Old Testament, he said, I'm not going to bless you anymore. So one of the principles you can get out of this very dysfunctional family and their rotten marriage that was all wrong was, keep marriage at the forefront. It's important, all right? Marriage, uphold marriage. Now, I know some of you in here have divorce in your past. That's the past. Now we go to the future, okay? And we all have things in our closet, things in our past. It's not just divorce. But I don't want you to feel like, oh, I can't do anything about it. Well, you can today. Keep supporting marriage and always uphold marriage. The second topic, illustrated in a very negative manner in this scripture, is wrath. Herodias had a grudge. The word in Greek describes an ongoing internal festering rage, and Herodias can't get rid of it. Hopefully you've never been in that situation where you have one of those rages you just can't get rid of. And in verse 28, then, we're told that she ends up saying, "Give me the head of John the Baptist." And Herod was not for this. Herodias illustrates a very negative lifestyle and personality. She was married to the wrong man. She was so angry with John that she wanted her head, his head. I went to what does Scripture say about women and ladies? One of them, of many, says, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the quiet and unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." I can't imagine Herodias in her anger and grudge and wrath having a gentle and quiet spirit. I think she was upset with her husband, upset with the situation. And today we need to understand the seriousness of anger and wrath in our lives. You know, Jesus took anger and elevated it to murder. Jesus took anger and elevated it to murder. So if you were in the court of law and you were angry with somebody, the law would say, "Oh, that's just the same as murder. What's the punishment for murder?" Anger is a serious issue, and we need to realize that. And that's a very good application to us in this day. Watch out for anger, wrath, revenge. Those things should not be a part of a Christian's life. We do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Watch out for anger. The third topic here that's illustrated in a bad manner is make wise social choices. It was Herod's birthday. This party probably took place in a lavish palace he had way at the bottom of Perea, that purple that was up there, just right across the Jordan River from Jerusalem. That's probably where he was at. And it was, somebody described it as this: it was the party where alcohol flowed freely and morals flowed loosely. And the story here is that Herodias sent in her daughter, and she danced in front of the men there and pleased them. Now let me ask you, what kind of mother would do that in the first place? That is, I mean, this is a really dysfunctional family, bad family. Terrible. But this is where you lead, or where you get to, where life gets to, society gets to, if you forget the principles that we're supposed to be living. We sink into deep evil. And this story just, it illustrates this verse that we ran across in our small group Sunday school. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. These guys at the party, their destiny is destruction. These guys at this party, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. None of us go to these kind of parties, but it's still important where you're at now. What are your social activities? And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody, but it is important. And who are your friends? Hanging out with Christian friends, Christian family, people that'll help you go the right way. Not this bunch of guys at this banquet. Stay away from them guys. And be around people that influence you to do good. And I think that's a application that we can use here in this room today. Be wise about your choices of where you go, what you do, and the people you hang around with. Okay? The fourth topic that this story illustrates is be careful of the words we say or the promises we make. Herod had said some words that he should not have said, and bad things happened. He says, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I'll give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give it up to half of my kingdom." You can imagine, and again, this probably doesn't apply to anybody here, but maybe in your formal life, alcohol leads to dumb stuff. Alcohol leads to dumb stuff. You ever read something in the paper like that was stupid, and then you think, was that guy drunk? Probably was, to do something that stupid. And it cost Herod here. He was drunk, Craig, the guy that started the church, Craig Garber, he started this church. Some of you know him, some of you, he's been gone for 10, 12, 15 years. And he stood up, he's a really nice man, really loving guy. He was talking about his experience as a pastor. He said, "I cannot tell you from Scripture that a sip of alcohol is absolutely wrong." He said, "I can't tell you that, but he said, in my role as a pastor, I can tell you it causes nothing but problems." So just a word to the wise. And like I said, a drink of alcohol is fine. It's not wrong. But don't ever let it lead to anything else. And make sure that you're always protecting your words. After Herod made this promise, Herodias goes and asks her mom what she should ask for, and she went to her mother, said, "What should I ask for?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And Herod was trapped by her request, and he knew it. He either breaks his promise in front of all the guests and also have Herodias be even more upset at him, or he follows through with his promise. And verse 26 says that he was greatly distressed because of the situation he was in. It was a selfish distress. He wasn't distressed about John the Baptist. He was distressed about himself. One of the things when we think about our words, what do we say? I go back to James 1:19. It says, everyone should be slow to speak. Guard your words and be careful of promises and commitments that you make with your words. Watch your words. And our words need to be truthful. They need to be loving. We need to keep our word, and we need to make sure we don't make wrong promises. Guard your words. So four things we can illustrate in a very negative way out of this passage. But the last verse. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. We finally get to somebody that's positive in this story, John the Baptist. He was willing to preach the truth, and he was probably in jail for 2 years before this party took place, and he ended up getting beheaded. But he was willing to do that because he believed on the principles of Scripture. He knew Scripture. He was willing to confront a person that was doing wrong. Now, there's a lot of wisdom in when and how and what you do when somebody's living like they should not be living, and you need to confront them. But John was willing to do it up to the point of being killed. We might do it up to the point of, he was mad at me, so I'm going to quit. But you need a lot of wisdom in that. But let's think of our lives as being the John the Baptist and not the Herod. So going back, I had four funny applications out there, or fictitious applications I went to. But today, uphold marriage. Uphold marriage. God says, I wasn't blessing the Jews of the Old Testament because you were getting divorces. Do not be angry. Jesus says it's the same as murder. And James tells us, be slow to anger. Slow down. Slow to anger. Be wise about your social choices. Your choice of friends is important. Be careful about the words you speak. Be slow to speak. And lastly, be like John. Just be a Christian person of honor, willing to live the life that God has placed before you in the way you should. And as we do these things, we as people and our society will stay more on the right track. The reason all of this dysfunctional family was going on in the New Testament is because that whole society, people in general, had rejected God. And we as a country, as a group, as a society need to follow God. But then that comes down to the individual of doing these things we just talked about. Marriage, being angry, social choices, the words you speak, and to be like John. So I hope from this really gory, dysfunctional family, it's kind of a most negative story, a very negative story in the Bible. Take the positives out of it that we would never fall into that kind of evil and live our lives in the ways we talked about today. Let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.